The first scripture illustrates one of the things that I want to say later on, but you notice that in the first part of the scripture, God speaks to Abraham directly. I mean, that and it tells him to do this. But then at the last, it's an angel that speaks to him. Multiple ways God speaks to us, one of them being angels. As I think I said in the Thursday email, I have learned more about angels in this last week, thank you, Dean, than I had for my entire life. But I think I'd like to go over just this one piece before I do the New Testament scripture. Around the 5th century, a scholar named Dionysius studied the references to angels in scriptures and other non-biblical sources and concluded that there are 9 classes or choirs of angels that are divided into 3 spheres. Okay. There is a reason for this. There will not be a test. And here are the 9, and with a brief description of their duties, if you will. And these are close to God, close to people, okay, from top to the bottom, so to speak. Seraphim, sometimes called the burning ones, because they are closest to God and radiate pure light. They are the angels who constantly sing God's praise, and whose duty it is to regulate the heavens. Cherubim, sent to guard the gates of Eden. Originally, they were depicted as the bearers of God's throne, as the charioteers, as powerful beings with 4 wings and 4 faces. And that's a far cry from the chubby little things with wings that we think about now when somebody says cherub or cherubim. The third is thrones, called the many-eyed ones, who have the duty of carrying out God's decisions. They're often represented as fiery wheels. Dominions, their job is to regulate the duties of the other angels and make sure that God's wishes are carried out. Virtues, the angels of grace who bring God's blessings to earth, usually in the form of miracles. Powers, their job is to prevent the fallen angels from taking over the world and keeping the universe in balance. They are seen as the angels of birth and death. Principalities, the guardian angels of cities, nations, rulers, and guards against the invasion of evil. Archangels, probably the best known of all angels, they carry God's most important messages to humans. They also command God's armies of angels in the constant battle with evil. And finally, just plain old angels, the celestial beings closest to humans. They act as intermediaries between the Almighty and humanity, sometimes called guardian angels. So, the scripture from Revelation is one of 7 similar ones, and it's about a principality, okay? And this is the angel of a church. So it's Revelation, reading from Revelation 3:14-19. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you and keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this word. So angels, and as I say, I believe in angels. I don't believe in those cute little things with wings, you know, that you see at Hallmark. But I believe in angels speaking to us. God speaks to us in many ways, and one of those is angels. I went to the book of Luke, and I started just in the very beginning, and then went to Matthew. The stories about Jesus' birth are full of angels. Zechariah, who was a priest, and he was on duty an angel appeared to him, evidently in the flesh. And when an angel appears in the flesh, the first reaction of the person who sees the angel is usually fear. And the first words of angels who appear in the flesh are usually, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." So this angel promised that Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son. Well, they were past the age, and so Zechariah doubted, and he said, "Oh, no, it can't be. And so the angel said, "Well, you will be mute until such time as this happens." And so when Zechariah went out of the temple and back to the people, he couldn't speak. And so the people knew that something had happened. They knew that something had happened. Well, sure enough, Elizabeth got pregnant. And the child was going to be John the Baptist. Okay. And when after the baby was born, you remember there was a thing about naming the baby, and they asked Elizabeth, because John wasn't talking, and Elizabeth said, "His name will be John." And they said, "Oh, they can't do that. There's no one in your family named John." And so they turned to Zechariah, and they said, "So what will his name be?" And they handed him something to write, and he said, "His name is John." So the angel's promise, speaking for God, was fulfilled. Okay. In this story, the angel identifies himself as Gabriel. Okay, so for whatever that's worth. The next, of course, is Mary. And the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You are with child, but it's the child of the Holy Spirit. And told her about what it was going to be. But when the angel first appeared, she wasn't afraid. It says she was perplexed, which is another reaction, I think, when we get a word from God. Sometimes it's scary, and sometimes it's merely perplexing. But the angel still said, "Do not be afraid." Now, she accepted what the angel said. Okay, so that ends this little story, and it goes on to the Magnificat and that whole speech of acceptance. And then the shepherds are in the field, and an angel appears, and they are terrified. And their first words are, "Do not be afraid." They were announcing the birth of Jesus, of course. And then along with that, a whole multitude of angels came and were with them. And then... In a bit, John the Baptist, when he occurs, he's at the Jordan. It says the word of God came to John. Again, not an angel, but the word. God speaking in different ways. In Matthew, Joseph, who has just found out that Mary is with child, and he isn't it, he isn't the father, he's thinking about walking away. But it says an angel came to him in a dream, another way of communication. Angel came into a dream and said not to leave Mary, but to go ahead and marry her, that it would be okay. And then just briefly, the Magi came, went to Herod. He said, go find the child and come back and tell me. But they were warned in a dream not to come back. Okay, and then in, of course, Joseph and Mary had fled to Egypt, and there an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, it's okay to return now. So, messages from God, many identified as coming through angels, happened throughout that birth story, and indeed, you know, it's throughout Scripture, of course. What are angels? Well, hopefully puncturing any balloons of happiness, angels are not people who have died and become angels. Even Billy Graham agrees on that. Angels are separate beings created by God. Okay? Now, that does not mean that a loved one who has died is not somehow possibly in contact with us, but it's not as an angel, per se. Okay? But if they are in contact with God and we're in contact with God, then I see no reason that we are not in contact with each other. It's just that we're not there. They do not become angels. In the movie City of Angels, that they make that very clear, that the angels are a special kind of person, kind of being, and they have a special job to be messengers. And then the author got a little carried away and fixed it so that angels could become human. But I think we're going to discount that as fiction. But angels are very important. And sometimes we see them, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes when God speaks to us, it is through an angel. Now, can a person be an angel to someone else? Can a person be God's messenger with in a particular case? Yeah, I think so. I have to. I was talking about the sermon with a friend the other night, and this is a friend, and I'll just say a little background. She lives right across the way from us, and when her husband fell and was dying, she called me to help get him up and, you know, and go on. But he, in fact, did not ever get up. And so she says to me the other night when I'm talking to her, she says, you're an angel, which scared the heck out of me. You know, I mean, it really does. But in that case, she saw Cheryl and I as being God's presence, as bringing God's word to this difficult situation. So I guess I would accept the title of angel pro tem. Okay. But I think we all know that there are people who speak to us who speak God's word. Okay. Maybe even occasionally a preacher. But who knows. So angels are messengers. And they have various kinds of angels, have various kinds of duties. And some of them are very noisy, but they have very specialized kinds of duties. But we rely on hearing from God, however that is. Now, Dean's story that started this whole thing off, I put in the reflection here. Now, was that an angel? Was it a person that really kind of just appeared and then disappeared? I don't know. Dean doesn't know, I don't think, because that's why he asked the question. Jacob, when he was at the Jabbok River wrestling, he was wrestling with a man, and then it turned out to be an angel, according to the story. So sometimes it's hard to tell. I think what we can tell is, we can tell, as Jesus said about people, we can tell them by their fruits. If a messenger from God comes, the messenger from God is going to be bringing a word of peace and love and reconciliation and salvation. Might they be warning us of a bad situation we're getting into? Yeah, maybe. Hopefully. And does that make them a guardian? Yes. I mean, I know I've been thinking about doing something sometimes, and I will get, I don't really refer to it so much as angels as a nudge. You know, I get a nudge that says, no, that's not something that you should be doing. That's going to be harmful to you or to somebody else. So however that message comes, think of it as an angel. It's a message from God. Would the message from God say, hurt that person or hate that person? No, got a wrong style, wrong conduit, wrong kind of message. But angels do turn to evil, and that's why we have a couple of these that are here to watch over the other angels and make sure things go correctly. So having talked kind of all around this issue, yes, there are angels. You may be sitting next to one right now. And maybe you can see that angel or maybe not. But if that angel, if you hear a word that comes from God and is spoken to you, then you've got it. Angel, dream, reverie, nudge, however it happens, we have to be open, because in all these cases, there's a chance to run away, a chance to say no, a chance to ignore what had been said. Don't do that. Don't let God's word to you go unnoticed and unheeded. Because God loves you enough to speak to you however it is. Amen.